to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, and I'm the podfather of your favorite hebdomadal podcast. Oh, I'm glad you're with us. I'd get slapped with a diagnosis of polyphagia if I had to stomach the idea that you missed this week's show. Here's our associate producer, Kate, to tell us what's going on.
Hey, Tony. This week it's your fall gala strategy. The CEO of Trellis.org wants you to recognize your gala as a substantial fundraising growth opportunity. He shares his advice on unlocking new revenue drivers, turning one-night attendees into long-term donors, modern upsells, using tech wisely, and much more. He is Justin Goodhue. On Tony's Take 2.
Will I see you at the Bridge Conference?
We're sponsored by the Bridge Conference. Tony will be with more than 2,400 nonprofit professionals at Bridge, July 29 to 31 in National Harbor, Maryland. Info and registration at bridgeconf.org. Here is your fall gala strategy.
It's a pleasure to welcome to Nonprofit Radio the co-founder and CEO of Trellis.org, Justin Goodhue. Trellis.org is the leading integrated gala and auction software for Blackbaud's Razor's Edge. Justin discovered that events, especially galas, are one of the biggest untapped opportunities for donation growth. You'll find Justin on LinkedIn. Welcome to Nonprofit Radio, Justin.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me. I love it.
Look at that. I don't think a guest has ever. I've never had a guest imitate my enthusiastic arm raises.
Hey, I'm just trying to bring the vibes, you know?
Thank you. I'm glad it's infectious to you. All right. Outstanding. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Let's talk about high level first. What nonprofits could be doing better with galas, what you see as the untapped potential in galas, and then we'll have plenty of time to drill down.
Yeah, I mean, like if you go really high level here, nonprofits are the only ones that are really allowed to do these, where you can get all of your favorite people, all the people that love you the most, and then ask them for a lot of money. Regular companies, for-profit companies, they can't do that, right? So just high level, like, for-profit companies would love to be able to do that, but they don't have an excuse or a reason to. You do at your nonprofit. So I think we get caught up in that. You know, these galas, they take so much time, right, on the team. And that's all that is focused on. But when you take it just one half step back, it's like, oh my gosh, we get to give everyone the Kool-Aid for one night of the year and get them to fall in love with what we do because they do truly care. That's why they're here.
And what could we be doing better at this? Yeah, well, I guess, well, first, the I guess the closest that a corporate analogy would be like the shareholders meeting. But that's not really, those are not love fests for the, no. They may be insurrectionists in the shareholders meeting, but I guess that's not the closest they come, but then I guess that's not very close. It's not.
And
close.
All you care about is your return or your dividends, right? Yeah. This is so much more than you. And now, but when I'm donating to my favorite charity, I go to the event because I want to see the impact I've created and I want to feel even more engaged and connected to that, right? And that's just, it's a big node in the strategy of your fundraising that I think that the nonprofits have the advantage in. They can actually do it.
And so what could we be doing better? Just tick off some ideas.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go into detail.
Yeah, we'll go into lots. I'll start going and you can let me know where you want to dive in. But I think a big thing with galas is realizing that it's not just the day. So realizing that there's a lead up, there's a follow through, and it's part of that strategy, right? You're not getting those major gifts. There are some charities that just do major gifts, period, full stop. That's a great strategy. And I think they should just keep doing that. But for a lot of these charities that want to get major gifts, that have events going on, you find those major gift donors at the events. I think that's a key one that people forget It's, hey, what are the 20% of people that are driving 80% of the revenue at your gala? And make sure that you find more of those and you just hone in on those. So, you know, you want to be pre-planning, inviting the right people, right? You want to be integrating with the right system so you can identify those people. You want to be upselling those people when they're there, not because you want to make more money per se, but because you want to identify the people that have it and that don't mind giving it, right? Why is it just airlines and fast food that can upsell? Why can't nonprofits as well, right? So we need to be doing those things. You know, and then focusing on what really works in those galas, which you can dive into. There's a lot of distractions, I would say, Tony, in these galas. And we don't need to be doing a lot of those. We need to keep these people focused on what the reason they're here for. And then, of course, putting that cause first. I always leave that to the end because I want people to remember that. And really, that's why people are there, and leaving them with that feeling and showcasing that.
Okay, cool. That's a great timeline. I'm very interested in this topic. I find myself working on a gala with a client, which is not in my wheelhouse at all. In fact, I shun galas. I'll go when I'm invited, but I'm strictly a participant. Well, there's a client I'm interim co-chief development officer of, and there's a gala coming up. Mm-hmm. And you know, we want to do well, and I'm not sure we've done as well as I don't think we've done as well as we could in the past. The client agrees, so we'll see. I may be asking you some individual questions, but I'm not I'm not looking for a free consultation either. That's not the case.
Oh no, like this is so much better. You're actually in it. So why do you mind me asking? Why does your client think that they could do better? What's the big reason?
It just doesn't raise enough money for the level of the charity. You know, last year they raised, I think the profit was about $165,000 or so. That was the profit. Mm-hmm. The auction raise. I was not at the event, but universally understood that the paddle auction was poor. It was embarrassing. At least one person said embarrassing, but if other people didn't say it was embarrassing, they felt embarrassed that the raises were just not coming. The bids on the auction items were just not coming. So we're revisiting that entire structure to make it more mission centric and much less auction item centric. All right. So there's a few things. Let's start with your pre-plan. I mean, you laid out kind of a timeline, pre-planning, having the right systems, upselling. Yeah. I don't know if upselling is that night or afterwards. We'll find out. We're going to find out together. Well, you already know. I'll find out. avoiding distractions, putting the cause first. Okay. Yeah. And then gala versus gala. I don't know. I'm from the Northeast, New York City area. To me, it's gala, but you say gala. You're in British Columbia, way Pacific Northwest of right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in Canada, right? And I don't know what it is in Canada. We say gala. I mean, we're maybe less fancy. We're not as clearly as Southern.
I don't know if one is more. Yeah. To me, gala sounds more fancy. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There
gala,
you go.
I don't know. Gala sounds hard. Gala is the long A, the harsh gala. Gala. I don't know. Gala sounds more gallant. Like the word gallant. Gallantry.
There you go.
You know, gallon, a gallon of love. Gala. I don't know. Gala. gala. I can't think of anything else that starts with gala. But gala has lots of other, you know, similarly sounding words to play off.
Hey, gala. I'll take it. I've seen the fancy galas in New York, and they're fancy. I'll take it. You know, if we can be fancy in Canada, I'll do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been to galas at the Plaza Hotel.
Hmm.
So, and where else? Cipriani. That's another huge. I mean, I'm talking New York City. Now, this is strictly New York centric. That's where I. Yeah. That's even though I live in North Carolina, my roots are in the New York City area. Cipriani, they have two locations in New York City. That's another very big one. What big hotels? Oh, the Saint Re I think the Saint Regis Hotel. We're talking elegant, elegant ballrooms with elegant gala potential if you're exploiting the potential of the venue.
Well, and if you think about those galas where they have so many people they can invite, they're really focused on getting those people in the seats, right? So when you talk about the first part that I was talking about, the pre-planning and a
Pre-planning.
big
Yeah, this is
gala.
before the night of the gala. Yeah.
I
All
mean,
right.
they've been doing this for 20, 30 years, right? Where they're, okay, this group of people that we invited, wow, they donated about 80%. If you go look, so I would challenge you to talk to your client and say, okay, let's look at the all of our donors, all of our attendees, and let's go and see who donated most of the money, right? Because it's always the 20% of attendees at the galas that did the 80% of the donations, the ones that did make those bids. It's the other 80% that maybe didn't make those bids. So what these galas have been doing and these planners have been doing for 20, 30 years in New York and all these bigger ones that have been going on and on is they're always looking back. Okay, who gave the most? How did we find them? Did we invite them through a radio ad? Did we invite them by, one of our fundraisers invited them, for example, right? So that's what a
Okay,
lot of that looks like.
look at the high performers from last year's gala. How do we, now you got me all confused. Gala. How do we get them there? How do we get more people like those people, right? Is what you're
So
saying.
make sure you do ask that question to all those people. How did you hear about this gala, right? In the ticketing form, something so you can take a look. Oh, actually, I was just invited by Tony. He brought me to my table, right? Okay, so then why, who, Tony brought 10 people that spent like $1,000 each, and then someone else, brought people that only brought $100 each. So now we look at Tony with a different light next year and try and maybe he gets two tables, things like that.
What do you all right, anything else
On the pre,
pre-night of?
pre, yeah. So you do want to make it really easy in prep, right? So you want to make sure you get the list. You want to have that list. You want to have everyone that's invited. So if you're sponsoring tables, if you have a bunch of people that sponsor tables and they invite their employees or their clients to the gala, you want to make sure you have their first name, last name, and email of everyone coming. Because you do want to have that filled out before to make that check-in experience seamless. They don't feel like they're in a huge line at the start. They get to walk in and you can invite them and say, like, what is your name? They'll let you know. And then you can just simply, shoot them a text, whatever that looks like on the system you're using so that they can give for the evening because you already have all their information ready to go.
Did you
It just
ask
gets a
for
lot more personal.
up front, did you ask for their cell number too?
Yes. Cell number is great because then when we talk about the next step, which is integration, you want to integrate your systems into how donors work. They know how to receive a text message. They know how to click that. And then they can start giving very easily. They don't need to log in anywhere. There should be no logging in. There should be no downloading apps, anything confusing, just integrating with what they already use. So getting their cell phone number is huge. And then for future asks, donations, communications, you have that number.
Okay, right. All right. So night of course. Yes. Night of we can be texting them updates, link, all right, link to give. Now we've got this item up, or we've got this campaign going. Here's the link to give. So they're hearing about it from the stage, but they're also getting text messages. Here's the link to give. Yeah? Yeah.
And it's prompting and reminding as well before and after.
Okay. Oh, that's true. Oh, before, right? You can looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
Also for the silent auction, right? Like, hey, the silent auction's open 2 weeks ahead of time, right? Then they're already kind of thinking about the gala. Oh, I can look, I can peruse, I can start bidding on all my items before I show up. So most of the time, auctions on Trellis, for example, they have, 5 to 10 bids on each one before the actual night, because you should be launching it 2 weeks before. And then you should, because if you're just saying, hey, get ready for the gala, get ready for the gala, that's not really exciting. But hey, look at this auction item that's already getting bids before the gala. Like, make sure you put your bids in and start getting excited about that. So you're already thinking about it, beforehand and getting excited.
Okay, and you're doing that by SMS.
Oh yeah,
People are,
texting is just so much
yeah,
easier.
people are not put off. But people are not put off. They know they're coming to the gala. And they can opt out. I'm sure they could opt out if they wanted to.
Oh yeah, they can opt out. They don't have to put in their phone number as well. So if you don't have it, then we'll just be emailing them. But I mean, not many people read their emails these days, and we just text them for the things that matter. So if you bid on an item, right? Think about that thing you love. and you could get two tickets to it or a gift card or a golf out, whatever that thing that you love, you bid on it. You want to know if you get outbid, right? Of course, there is should be things like auto bid, right? So you bid $100 and you want, and you'll say, I'll bid up to $400. Again, that's a great way for charities to ring up how much their bids are, because if you and I both say, oh, we'll bid up to 400, then it just goes right, ladders up very quickly. But I want to know if Tony's beating me, I want to know so I can go back and beat him again at the auction. It's
okay.
A lot of fun that way.
And does the software allow me to set my increment? So an auto bid. So I bid 100. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go up to 400. Your example, somebody else bid 150. Yeah. Do I set the increment above 150 that I'm willing to go, or that's automated? Like,
yeah,
$50 above or $25 above, do I set that, the increment?
That's a great question. So it's, for the auto bid, it's a minimum increment. So the organizer sets a minimum bid increment. So for this item, $400, probably the bid increment would be somewhere between $10 and $25. I would recommend $25. And then it would go up by $25 increments if it's on auto bid, because it bids up to the minimum bid increment.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
Well, you get two people on auto bid. I mean, then get to 400 in a couple of seconds.
Yeah. So we push a lot of people to auto bid, which yes, adds a little bit of friction. But once they use it, because a lot of them haven't used it before, once they use it once, they love it. And we get a lot of reports of how much it's easier, because then they're not glued to their cell phone. They're not eyeing the auction table. They're just enjoying it. Right.
Okay.
And it's, they're enjoying that event. And another fun piece is that overtime bidding. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, that forget that these auction items are for a good cause, and they try and go in at the end and just get it for the lowest price. So if you and I were both at 400, they wait till 1 minute before and they go 410 or 425, whatever the next minimum is. If we on our system, if we have a bid within the last 2 minutes, we just extend it by another 2 minutes. So everyone else has a chance to bid on top. So we've seen items go for 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes longer sometimes, because people keep bidding until it closes.
Yeah, they don't have the nonprofit spirit quite in their hearts. They're trying to get the item at the cheapest price possible.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, if you want to talk about like ethos and why I started this thing, and I mean, like, you know, you look at this, like, social responsibility isn't a trend. Like, what
he's,
we're
Justin
here.
Is pointing to looks. Well, he's wearing the same T-shirt.
Yeah.
So he's pointing to the T-shirt is also displayed behind him. So that's what he's pointing to. But he's wearing the T-shirt that also wearing the T-shirt that says social responsibility isn't a trend. Yeah.
Just in case you missed it, right? So I wanted to have that covered. But really what it is I find that sometimes in these events, the cause is forgotten. And it's all about that donor and the experience. And even I've been talking about it. And we're all, we all get there sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's for that cause, right? And I think that we try and put in these features and we try and talk to individuals and put out the message of, hey, at the end of the day, it's about your cause. How do we put the cause forward? And how do we get the most amount of money from these attendees into the nonprofit's wallets? And that's really what, at the end of the day, what matters.
Okay. Now we're talking about features that I presume are part of Trellis.
Yes.
Auto bid, overtime bid. Mm-hmm. If we don't have the benefit of Trellis or we don't have Razor's Edge, you know, are these features that are in other auction software?
Yeah, I think the auto bid feature is a common one we see, for sure. The overtime, not so much. And we also do have this really sneaky one, which is called Donate Your Bid, which is, we are the only ones that do that one. And again, I'm not trying to push. I do think, if you do a silent auction, before we get to the donate your bid, let's talk about what you
can
do for your
silent
auction.
Okay, I wrote it down, donate your bid. Yeah, we're going to get to donate your bid.
Yeah, yeah. But for silent auctions, yeah, you don't need Trellis. And I think what you need is you need to get the right bums and seats. You need to have the right asks. So that's not 100 items, unless you have 1,000 attendees, right?
Yeah, right.
And you're going to get, like, you know, your friend down the street is going to say, here is my $10 gift card or my 10% off my business. And it's like, but how do you say no to that, right? You can't say no to that, because then they're going to be upset and take it personally. So what you do is you say, thank you so much, Tony. And then you package it up.
Bundle
with some other stuff. Bundling is key. The software does the bundling for you. That's helpful. But you can also just, you know, have the items and then, okay, 2 weeks before, all right, we're done with items. I only want 20 items total. So we're going to bundle. Right. And then you start getting the quality is there. So That's what I would say. And then again, yeah, less is more, bundle for those auction items, and really, you know, ask your group, especially business owners, and they're very willing to give product, to give gift cards, because it is cheaper for them than cash as well, right? And they get that sponsorship opportunity. So again, making sure that the sponsor of the event or the items are forward on those auctions. That would be the key.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So having the right systems, maybe we could just tick off some additional features that we should be looking for. Again, if, you know, we're not using Trellis or Razor's Edge or Razor's Edge. What else besides, you mean, you just named two or three. What else should we be looking for in our gala software?
Yeah. So let's go down to a great thing is upselling, right? So you want to have little upsells so you can identify those people that have the money. So then you can follow up later. So whether that's an upsell at when they buy their ticket, hey, do you want to add a donation during the night? Hey, thank you for making that bid, Tony. If you don't win, do you want to just donate the $400? So that $400 we were talking about that you didn't win because someone came in at the end and beat you. Do you want to just donate 400 or a portion of that instead? The people that donate their bid are very likely to then give you bigger gifts at the end of the year. The people that add in upsells and are like, yeah, take my money, I love the cause. They're the ones that then you can go and take out for dinner, take out for a coffee, ask them why they love the cause so much. If you haven't seen, they are the ones with the money and they can give those upsells or sorry, give those big donations at the end of the year because of those upsells.
Because they upsold. Yeah. Because they were willing to give another $100 donation after they just bought a $1,250 ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, those are the people that have that. And that's why businesses do it. They do it. Yes. They make a little bit more money, but they're doing it because then they have the data on you and then they can send you other things that are at a different price point. So we have a lot of nonprofits. What we see is if they're buying raffle tickets and small things, small items, they buy some drink tickets, they maybe bid on a couple things. They're not like, they're not high, high activity donors that are giving a lot of these events. They're sending them smaller opportunities throughout the year. The ones that give a lot during these events, they're being very careful at what they send them and making sure it's very curated and larger asks for what they care about. They know more about them. So it's really neat to see how they're segmenting the data, because when you're talking about systems, the event software that you use, you really want it to integrate with the CRM that you use.
Yeah, that certainly would be the ideal, right?
Right, right. Right. And you want it to integrate. Not to get super boring and geeky on you here, but it's if you run a big event that's hard on your team, and then you have to ask your team, hey, all of this great stuff we did isn't in our CRM that we use every day, and we got to push that over somehow and figure it out, then most of your leverage is gone. Most of the spark is gone. By the time it gets into the system, it's 2 to 3 weeks later, your team's forgotten, the people that attended forgotten, and you haven't done that follow-up. Because the only thing that's almost as important as pre-planning the event is also following up after. So...
Okay, right. Because you're envisioning it's going to probably be a manual process getting the data into the CRM, mm-hmm. and then by the time the gift officers get in touch with the people who, mm-hmm. you know, to say thank you for your generosity mm-hmm. at the gala, you know, it could be 2 weeks later. It's kind of you lost a lot of the spark.
Yeah, yeah, you've lost almost all the spark, and it should have been instantaneous. It should be the Monday back from the Saturday night gala, right? And you should have that information in the system. It should be automated and it should be integrated in there, at least at the high bidders, right? The high purchasers, the ones that bought the tables, like at least segment that as a minimum would be my recommendation if you're not doing any segmentation right now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you, let's keep in mind, you mentioned as an example, just off the top of, you know, just mm-hmm. in passing, you said a Saturday night gala. I want to come back to that. Saturday night, see if that's a reality or what. But if you don't, all right, so if you don't have an automated system, what you could be doing now, you know, I mean, you can have folks taking notes. All right, we're going old school now. I'm talking, you know, you're either taking notes with a little pad and a pen, or you're taking notes on your phone. All right. We know who the people are because we assigned them all the tables. So Mr. and Mrs. Goodhue, you know, they just got the top bid on the $5,000, you know, on the $5,000 week in the Caribbean. So we want to get to the Goodhues. We know we got to get to them. We got to get to the other folks because they did 7,500. I mean, it's not optimal. I agree. I'm not saying don't look into trellis.org because there's another way of doing it. But if you don't have the wherewithal for the software, or because you're in integration with Razor's Edge, you know, if Razor's Edge isn't your CRM, you do have alternatives, either automated or the 64-year-old guy suggesting the old school approach, just taking notes on who raised their paddle for the high dollar items.
Yeah, and I think if you have a conversation honestly with your whole team, and you say you have like a gold star system, and anyone that sees things, or you pull that data right away after, and that's the one thing you do, if there is one follow-up piece, it is taking that 20% and trying to identify who they are. And if it's not automated, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I truly think that's okay. It's because you've done the 20% and you found that's given you the 80% of the value. So you've really covered it. The software makes it easier, and there's so many other softwares that integrate with other CRMs. So I think I would definitely do some research on what that looks like. But yeah, no, I agree. If you can just identify this handful, one trick though that I think a lot of people forget too is a lot of individuals, they show purchase intent by saying, I'm going to bid, I'm going to bid, I'm going to bid, and then they lose. So they bid up to $5,000 and they left by spending a drink ticket, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they said they'd pay 5,000 and they spent $10, right? And so like that's a little tricky one. And then it's really trying to, the second piece is, you all know those people that talk a big game and then you go look at the data, and the ones that don't have to talk a big game and they do give a lot, right? And so just because they might seem like they're giving a lot, make sure you do check with the numbers there and identify those table purchasers. So yeah, that's what I would do whether you have the software or not.
Very good advice. I'm both counts, and I'm underlining, don't be distracted by the loud talkers. Go with the action, the actual bids. And to your point, they didn't necessarily win anything. They might have bid a bunch of times. They didn't win anything, but they still were very willing. They just got outbid each time. So
yeah,
absolutely. Very good advice.
It's time for a break. We're sponsored by the Bridge Conference, produced by AFP DC and DMAW, July 29-31 at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center in National Harbor, Maryland. More than 2,400 professionals will gather at Bridge. Tony will be with them. The question is, will you? Thought leaders from nonprofits, associations, foundations, hospitals, higher ed, faith-based, and mission-driven causes across the country come to Bridge to discover new ideas, solve real challenges, and connect with smart people shaping the future of our industry. From 125-plus educational sessions and hands-on pre-conference workshops to Bridge Tech, the Faith and Fundraising Forum, and inspiring keynote speakers, Bridge offers something for every mission and every role. The conversations happening at Bridge will shape strategies, careers, and organizations long after the conference ends. Don't hear about it afterward. Be in the room. Register at bridgeconf.org. It's time for Tony's Take Two.
Thank you, Kate. Indeed, the Bridge Conference, our sponsor, which I am grateful for. Thank you very much, Bridge, for being with us. I'm going to be there. The conference is the 29th to the 31st of July. I'm going to be there on Friday, the 31st. You can see me on the exhibitor stage. I'll be there from 11:10 to 11:40. Don't come at 11:15. So you'll miss the first 5 minutes. They're very precise. 11:10 to 11:40. And I'm talking about, this is really the headline. I kind of buried it. The Martinetti 3-step 1-week planned giving launch. It's an excerpt from my book. That is something that I feature in the book. It's important that you know that you can start planned giving within a week of what I set you up with. 3 steps. 1 week, launch planned giving. That's what I'm talking about on Friday, July 31st, on the exhibitor stage at the Bridge Conference. This really is, it's a preeminent conference. They're saying 2,400 people or more. I think this is the fourth annual or something. It's gotten to be very, very big. They have big name sponsors. I was just told that Amazon came on as a sponsor or some kind of partner. So, you know, that's obviously, a great coup for them, a great get to have that kind of name and notoriety with your conference. So this thing is only growing. So think about the Bridge Conference. You don't need me to repeat where the info and the registration are, because we're telling you three, four times already today, but I'll say it. bridgeconf.org. So you didn't need me to say it, but I said it anyway, because they're a sponsor. We got to be good to them. That is Tony's take two. Kate?
So your audience is getting a little sneak peek into your book.
They will. That's correct, because the book doesn't come out until September. But you can see me at the Bridge, obviously, July 31st.
We've got buku buttloads more time. Here's the rest of your Fall Gala Strategy.
I want to go back to what you said in passing, Saturday Night Gala. You see a lot of weekend galas, Fridays and Saturdays?
We do, because we serve, there's a lot of them, but we do see a lot of Thursday nights as well. You know, so it doesn't encroach on the weekend, but it's almost the weekend, for sure. So Thursday is a big night for us. Friday, Saturday, no holidays. Like, so any of the holidays, like, you know, your July 4th, your, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, yeah, there's nothing. It's right. Dead. Right. And then we see big spikes in the spring. So we just went through one, the tail end of that. Usually Easter caps it, right? So that ends the spring push. And then there is a huge fall push. So we do see everyone tries to get that first weekend in September, but they don't want to do it too. They want to give people enough time to buy their tickets too. So that like third and fourth weekend in September are quite busy. And yeah, we do see a lot on Friday and Saturday night, equal parts though to a Thursday and a Wednesday. So,
interesting. Yeah. You do see Fridays and Saturdays. Okay.
Yeah. I think as we like, maybe not in bigger cities, but in smaller cities, it is the thing to do, right? Like there's not as many things to do. Right. Like you don't have a massive, like you're talking about, you know, downtown New York here. And there's lots of opportunities to do many different things. Right. But, you know, I'm from a town of 150,000 people, and like that, the big hospital gala is a big thing. Right. And that is on a Friday or Saturday, because that's what you want to be doing.
And you said Easter kind of caps the spring season. You don't see a lot of May and June galas?
We see May, June, not so much.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe June is an opportunity. I don't feel like June is so late in the spring. I mean, it's like early to mid June. All right. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's after Memorial Day in the state. We're talking about the states, right? We're talking about the states. It's after Memorial Day. So it's the official summer. That's true. I'm just wondering, you know, schools are not out, like elementary and high schools are not out yet. So you haven't gone away for your summer vacation, probably, because elementary and high schools tend to end like mid to late June. So you haven't gone away for your holiday week yet, I don't think. Obviously, I'm generalizing, you know, but I'm wondering if early June is maybe not so bad.
I would agree. No, there's not much, because a lot of it. But what you see is, if anything, it's golf tournaments. They sneak the golf tournaments in on those to switch it up a lot of times. So it's do people want to be inside when it's nicer? I do have a little Canadian element here, of course, right? June for us is a little bit warmer. So if you're, you know, on the beach all the time like yourself, then maybe, there's an opportunity there for sure around the school calendar.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just spitballing a little bit. Okay.
No, well, and you're trying to pull out some opportunities, which I love. And I think the opportunity though, maybe isn't in the timing of your gala. Again, pick the best time for you and your nonprofit to execute the best event, but maybe do it instead of picking a different day. It's maybe actually focus on what you're doing a little bit differently. So I just chatted with Keely, who she works at the Huntsman Mental Health nonprofit. And what she did is she had mission stops throughout her event. Instead of trying to get everyone to sit down the whole night, they just had mission stops with food. And each mission stop talked about what they were doing at their charity. So they had, I don't know how many, I'm going to make it up, five core tenets, let's say, of what they could give to and what they were doing. And you walked through and it was an experience instead of just going to your table and getting talked at, right? So they could see, and there was like a doctor at one of them, and some piece of equipment that they raised for last year at another one. And you could actually see it and understand what the impact was you were doing. And that evening they had a $1 million unexpected gift because of it. And it was just like, who knows if they were going to do the 1 million anyways, but they had, one of their biggest paddle raises ever because of it, because people just felt so connected. So I wouldn't think so much about challenging the timing of the event, but more challenging, how are you communicating your mission differently? I went to an SPCA one. They literally brought in puppies, right? Like it's a pet charity, and they brought in the puppies, and you could hang out with them the whole time. And that was awesome, right? Really broke up the evening. So what is it that you can do that's unique, and really lean into that, because that's why they're there. So just for opportunities for people, and they're thinking about their next gala.
Brilliant. Yeah, those are great. Absolutely. And yes, yeah, think through. I mean, what do you do, and how do you want people to feel about it? I mean, how can you help them experience, like, the mission? You call it a walkthrough. That's ideal. Like, here's the, like you said, here's the five core things we do. Come hear the experts explain it. And I guess at each station you said there was food too. At each spot there was the different food. So that's the eating. All right. Animals, of course, heartstring, outstanding.
And
So
get that, and then get that ask immediately, right? So, the one thing I wrote down here that I wanted to get to for your event is, when are you doing the ask, right? So a lot of people unfortunately do that big paddle raise ask, like, hey, okay, who wants to donate $10,000, $5,000, 2,000? They do that too late. It's really great to get that part at the start, right? You showcase your mission, you do mission stops, you have a great video, you have the puppies come out, whatever that is, right? And then you do that ask. And I really want everyone to consider doing a paddle raise or a fund a need, fund a cause, whatever they call it, that's specific and clear and is done. A lot of charities or nonprofits, they don't do that part. They do the auction, they do the tickets, and that's it. They don't actually have people just saying, hey, I'll just donate $1,000 because I care, and we're going to raise our hands and we're going to get excited. Because it's intimidating, because it could land flat, like you said, with the bids, right? They didn't get enough bids on the big item. So how are we going to get people to just donate that much money? So why would I push this when it's really scary? It's because you also mentioned something else, which was a problem of your event, which is gross versus net. You said you only netted like 130,000, I think, Tony.
165.
160, apologies. 165. So with that, I mean, your auction items, sometimes they have costs. Your tickets have food costs. But when someone puts up a paddle and says they're going to give you $1,000, that's just straight profit. There's no other cost to that, right? So though that's why those paddle raises are so important, because the margins on them, not to sound too business-like, but the margins on them are great,
This is a
right?
business. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
These are,
business, right?
we're just right there. We're running nonprofit businesses. There's no question.
So as a business, okay, where am I going to put my time? Am I going to put my time into that auction where I have to go and track down all these items? Or do I want to put in my time and saying, well, should I make the first ask $10,000 or $5,000? There's no item attached to it, right? There's no worrying about the sponsorship. There's no anything. It's just the margins, the ease, it makes sense, but people are very nervous to do it if they haven't, because it is a big ask for people. So some tips I have on that is make sure that mission is forward through mission stops, through bringing out the people you can. But on top of that, Tony, what I would recommend is planting gifts. So what I mean by that is, Tony, I come to your client's charity 3 months before and I say, hey, I love what you're doing. I want to give you a significant gift, right? Maybe it's 20,000, maybe it's 50, maybe it's 100. It really depends. And then you say, Justin, hold up for a second. Can we actually announce this at the event? Because it would really help us create some buzz to then get a lot more donations. And we're going to turn your, you know, $10,000 into 20, 30, 40. And usually they say yes, right? So then what you have is 5 to 10 people planted that are already going to give the gift. So that if you're trying to raise $100,000 in that funding or that paddle race, you have $50,000 in the room already. A good rule of thumb is having at least 50% of your fund and need goal already raised. And then there's software that can do this, or you can just do it on your own. Just the auctioneer knows that they're going to announce these five names throughout the evening to keep the excitement going and the momentum. And then other people will feel almost, I don't know if obligated is the right word, but they'll feel very excited to give more because they're seeing it hit the goal and break the goal and go past that goal. Because and then the organizers are very confident as well because they know they have 50, 60% of the goal covered before they start.
That's a variation. That's a more sophisticated way of doing something that that we've already talked about and that I've advocated, which is just to have people planted in the audience willing to do $5,000, mm-hmm. $10,000. But you're taking it to the next level. Folks that were going to make a major gift anyway, within a couple of months of the gala, could mm-hmm. we hold that? Could we hold off your gift to announce it at the gala because that's going to leverage more giving? It'll be more. It'll be an excitement moment versus yes. your. You know, you're just your very generous gift now, which we will of course acknowledge, but it's not going to be announced in front of an audience of 300 people or you know whatever our gala attendance is. So, yeah, you're taking it. You're taking that to the next level. Right, and then your auction leader parses those out through the night. Here's mm-hmm. I mean through the auction night, not the entire night, through the auction yeah. period, whatever 20, 30 mm-hmm. minutes of auctioning. Here's yeah. another. We got another $10,000 gift. This is from Justin, yeah. who you know. Mm-hmm. And so when there's a lull, perhaps mm-hmm. we inject one of these pre-planned gifts.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're right. just so that the impact is huge, and having them you know having their name show up on a screen or something really adds that right. factor to it right after. Yeah, so again, there's softwares that can do that. You can also just get an AV company at whoever to do that, or just have a PowerPoint. I've seen people like it's pretty simple, especially if you know the pre-plan, you can just have that all pre-prepped.
So, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate you working with the non-trellis alternatives too. Thank you.
Oh yeah. Hey, yeah. We're not a fit for everyone. You mentioned it, right? Like, and so there's like, check out GiveSmart, check out One Cause. They integrate with other systems. They're competitors of ours. They do things differently. You want to have the right fit, right? We really don't want to get in the way of anyone's fundraising. So.
Oh, thank you. All right. Yeah, GiveSmart yeah. and One Cause.
Yeah.
Alternatives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alternatives okay. there. Yeah.
All right.
And the last thing on your, oh no, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me put something out. Mm-hmm. We'll see how you react to it because this is what I've advocated for this client's gala. And this is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
But we're not having, well, we're having only two live auction items, two of our best either bundles or our best live auction items that we're currently soliciting right now for this June gala. We're going to have a silent auction as usual, but only going to be two live auction items because the main event of the auction, the main event of the night is give to the cause with a goal that represents the June expenditure on medical expenses. This is an animal welfare agency. Mm-hmm. And they spend about $7 million a year on charitable care okay. for animals that nobody pays for. We pay for. Mm-hmm. So if you take $7 million and you divide it by 12, you get $583,000 a month. So we are putting in front of the audience a $583,000 goal to raise the June money. Now, before mm-hmm. that, we're going to have a campaign that starts about 2 to 3 weeks before that, where that's going to be web-based, email, mm-hmm. probably not direct mail, but web, and that's going to be web and email-based, all toward the same goal. Because we yeah. don't want what you suggested, you know, we don't want the thermometer at zero the night of. We want the thermometer mm-hmm. like 150 or maybe, you know, it would be nice to have 50. You suggested 50%. That would be very good. But we want mm-hmm. to be somewhere above, zero. And so we're putting in front of the audience an audacious goal of whatever the difference is between what we've raised that night, I mean, what we've raised so far, and 583,000. But you're giving directly to the mission.
Yes.
There's not an intermediary live auction gift, except for the two that I mentioned. You're giving to the right to the work. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And what I was going to say when you started was be careful with live auction. You don't really want to do too many because live auctions can give bidding fatigue, paddle fatigue. There's only so many people in the room that are actually bidding, right? And a great fund in need.
Everybody else feels kind of bored.
Yeah, and a great fund in need or paddle raise, everyone should be raising their paddle. Even if it's for a smaller amount, everyone should be involved, right? So that's what I would say is like those two packages, if they're great, that's fantastic. I think go for it, right? Right. I would do it. I would make sure it's separate and less of a focus than this big 583 number. And that's the focus, right? If they scroll, like I'm thinking of if I'm looking at an event on an event page, like there should be the ticket button because I want to go and I want to buy tickets. And then it should be all about this 583K we're trying to do. Like that's the main thing, right? And it's about what the impact these expenses have, because giving money for expenses isn't too sexy, but what the expenses do and the impact it creates is probably pretty exciting to the benefactors that I really care about.
Yeah, it's the charitable care for the animals. Oh, so so this goes back to your point about upselling at the ticket sale on the ticket sale page. There should be donate to the campaign for the night, and you know, an explanation of what it is we're raising money for.
Yeah. And you can kind of tailor your, like, if you have, you know, you're going to have like 100 people just for easy math. Okay. So then we need at least each person to donate 5,830, right? So like, let's make asks that are around that or multiples or less of that, whatever, just so it's, and they can, you can say, hey, you're getting us this much closer when they're giving. And for sure, when I said to like the 50% of your thermometer is filled, it's filled in the background. You do start it at zero, or in your case, you're going to get 150K, let's say, at the start, and you're going to build that excitement over the 2 weeks beforehand, which I love that idea. Any longer than that is too long. 2 weeks, we find, is a really great way to keep the momentum and exciting. Okay. And again, the more you can plan those, the better. So if you, the day you launch it, you know, get some kind of a bigger gift announced to kick it off, so it's not anywhere close to zero. And then maybe like 1 week in, you have another bigger gift. And then like, you know, 3 days before, 2 days before, 1 day before, it's like boom, boom, boom. And it just keeps going. And then during the night, you know, you have another 150 that you can release. Right. And then, so then you're really only trying to get, you know, 250 to 300 during the evening. Which I think is a great audacious goal, and it's exciting, and it's the right focus, and it has the best margins, and that's how you move the needle. So yeah, I love it.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Yes, I want to follow up. When is it? You said June?
June, early June.
Great.
And then if we need to, hopefully we don't, but if we need to, we'll extend the campaign beyond the night of the gala.
Yeah. And I think like, if you are nervous at all, I mean, I've seen some people double their goals and it gets really exciting, right? So like you could say half of 583 as a consideration, knowing that you already have two, whatever the math is, 270-ish already committed. So you're going to blow through that goal. And then you already know you're planning on doubling the goal, right? So just some considerations for you. Versus extending it and then people leaving like we didn't hit the goal and not feeling good.
I don't follow you.
So sorry. Like you said we could extend it if we don't hit the goal.
Right.
You really want to hit that goal.
Sure.
Right? Like you really want to hit the goal. So I think hitting the goal is more important than how big the number is, because you don't want people leaving feeling like they didn't succeed. You want it feeling excited. Right. So what we've seen people do is say, okay, we want to, like, our goal, which you should set as audacious, is 583. But we're publicly actually half of 583, let's say. And internally, you know, you're going to crush it and you've already pre-planned for it. Your auctioneer is prepped.
Okay.
Right. And then you have a slide that's like, oh, wow. Like, we didn't think this is going to happen, but like, let's see if we can double it. And then right when you say doubled it, you have two people that are planted gifts that hit that, and now everyone's really excited, right? Like, I know I'm thinking like movie production here, which is easier said than done as my armchair quarterbacking, but I do see, again, the events that are most successful, they always don't just hit their goal, they exceed it by anywhere from 20 to 50%, I see, the ones that do really well. And then this is just from me observing how these nonprofits use our system.
Okay, thank you. I got you. All right. Like I said, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Avoiding distractions. Maybe we already talked some about this, but let's put a fine point on it. What's your advice around avoiding distractions?
Yeah, great. So it's raffle tickets, drink tickets, all this other stuff, these small little purchases, these little tiny cuts that take me away from talking to my friends and having to do this $10 raffle and then have to do the draw when you're trying to raise $583K. Like, that's what matters, you know? So let's get 2 live auction items. Let's get 25 curated silent auction items. And then let's do everything about this fund a need that you're doing. Right. And not any more distractions around that. Like, you can, if you need to, they can, their drink tickets are included. If you have to have the alcohol being bought for, then, you know what I mean? Just like less, because we see charities that have like 17 different things people could buy. And the paradox of choice is real. Too much choice. And you're just like, and then you leave and the night's over. So really, they love being like, okay, I want to be a superstar donor, a champion donor, or this based on my budget. And I just walk into those shoes and it's really easy, you know? So I'm going to donate $5,830 because that is 1% of what we need.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. I've been to those events where people are coming around with a roll of tickets, you know, for the raffle and things like that. And it's small dollar.
A lot of work. And
you got to have a lot of labor going around.
Yes.
Now you got paper tickets to deal with. And you have to have you can get the raffle drawing bin or something, but it's kind of small. It's called, I don't know, it seems like kind of small-minded thinking.
Yes.
All right. Yes. $10 drink tickets. You know, what are we doing for $10? Yeah. Really?
And if you're the event planner, you're like, okay, I could ask my team to go and try and get some really good gifts to hit this big goal. Or I could ask my team to run this raffle that's going to make $3,000, you know? And it's just, and they're going to get frustrated by it, you know? So, and then instead of at the evening saying, hey, Tony, do you want a ticket? Do you want a ticket? It's like, Tony, how's it going? How's life? How's your family?
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, did you bid on the cause on the fund in need?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you doing 5,000 or 10,000? What do you think? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You save the best for last. This is essential in all our work. It transcends galas and transcends events. It even transcends fundraising. Putting the cause first. Mm-hmm. Remind us how important this is.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, you know, starting any organization is a labor of love, right? And so for me, starting Trellis, just to get a little personal, I struggled a little bit with some of the galas we were powering. They were very focused only on the donor. On the who's who in the room, on things that weren't actually the cause. And I was like, I talked to my team about it and they felt the same thing. So it's, how do we make sure through our software that we can put the cause forward? And it's storytelling, right? So that fund a need we talked about, it's like the screens that you can use in Trellis to showcase who you're giving to, right? Every time you make a purchase, we're going to hit you with a, hey, you want to just give more of high margin opportunities, like just straight donations or donating your bid. And we're going, oh, you want to come in at the end of the auction item and just take the auction item? Oh, we'll just extend it so that everyone else can raise more. So that's how we kind of make sure that the cause is first in the way we can as a software company. But I just want to challenge people that the true donors, the ones that are going to stick with you forever, the ones that really love your cause and the beneficiaries, they love it because of the people you're helping, the benefit factors of the gala. So putting that first will help you get more of the people you need and less of the people you don't. Because the people that, oh, we had to listen to this thing about the benefits and da, 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 great. They don't need to come next year. Because the people that love it and are that are going to give consistently year over year, they love that. So how can you be creative like Keely with the mission stops? How can you really, you know, use your cause, whatever that is, uniquely at this gala? And maybe it's not a rubber chicken dinner because your impact happens in this other venue that you could actually get people to all go to and do it there, right? You know, like we have a college in town, the Culinary Arts, and they wanted to raise some money to teach underprivileged youth around cooking. And so they cooked meals for everyone to show the end result, right? Yeah. Like it was beautiful, right? So like, if you can be authentic and put your cause first, you're going to get the right people to come. And that's really why everyone's there. So the more you can do that, the more people are going to have a great time.
Justin Goodhue, co-founder, CEO of Trellis.org. You should connect with Justin on LinkedIn. You'll find Trellis.org, at the aptly named URL, trellis.org. All right, Justin, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom, your generosity of thinking too. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. You didn't hear my child yelling half the time, did you?
Not at all. But we're
oh, good.
That's right. We've had dogs barking.
Okay.
Pets appear. This is an audio podcast, by the way. That's why I was explaining to people what's behind you. Because yeah. only a little reels, a couple of reels are going to be made from the video. But so we've had cats walk on. You know, it makes no difference. We're not only family friendly. We're family embracing.
Embracing.
So
I love it.
If I had heard your child, I would have invited them on to bring them on mic. Let's talk to them. Or let's listen to them cry for a second. That's fine too.
That's
Thank you, Justin. Thank you very much.
Next week, confessions of nonprofit social media managers, and convert your member website into a thriving community.
I know we have promised this a couple times now. You know that you're working with a lackluster host. I had to get this Justin Goodhue interview in because it's been sitting, and I don't like to make people wait as long as I made Justin wait like 3 months. So I had to get it in. And so why didn't I think of that last week? I don't know. Sorry. That's a very good question. It's a very, very relevant question. I don't know is the best answer I have. So next week, definitely social media manager confessions and your member website into a thriving community.
If you missed any part of this week's show,
I beseech you, find it at tonymartinetti.com.
We're sponsored by the Bridge Conference. As you know, Tony will be with more than 2,400 nonprofit professionals at Bridge, July 29 to 31 in National Harbor, Maryland. Info and registration at bridgeconf.org. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. I'm your associate producer, Kate Marinetti. The show's social media is by Susan Chavez. Mark Silverman is our web guy. And this music is by Scott Stein.
Thank you for that affirmation, Scotty. Be with us next week for Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.